Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through the beginning of verse 5. It can be found on page 865 of the Old Testament in the Red Pew Bibles or on the screen. In this passage, the prophet Micah tells us that the Messiah who is to come will be born in Bethlehem. In this same scripture, we see that Jesus has been foretold as the bringer of peace as well. Listen and hear the word of God. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Advent and Luke, this is our last Sunday, and that's been our theme for the last 3 weeks, and this is our fourth week now, so let's go ahead and review the last weeks that we have seen just so that we're aware and we're on the same page of where we have been. The first week we saw that Christ is our hope and that we can expect good things, even better things are going to be right around the corner. The second week of Advent we saw that Christ is our way and that way is the way of humility. Last week, we saw that Christ is our joy, which means that we can celebrate his presence in our lives no matter what is happening around us or no matter what is happening to us. And today, we are going to see that Christ is our peace. Now, in each of these Sundays, we have seen Jesus who is front and center. He is absolutely the one that we've talked about more than anyone else, and we've seen ways in which we can be more like him. But have you noticed who also has been in each of these scriptures as well? Mary has as well, hasn't she? She's made herself known. And so without any further ado, Julia, great to have you back. This is her last week with us, and she's so disappointed, I know. So let's go ahead and let's ask you some more questions. This week, the questions were kind of hard, weren't they? They're a lot harder than maybe the first 3 weeks. So what is the number one thing that kids in sixth grade, kids your age, are talking about today?
Mainly, like, what's happening in their lives, music, sport, stuff like that.
Okay. So, like, with music, have you watched The Voice at all?
We used to watch American Idol, but we stopped.
Okay. So. Is that something kids talk about at school a little bit?
Not really, so much. Like, I mean, sometimes they'll talk about The Voice, but not okay. So much.
So I'm out of touch. Is that what you're saying? Is that okay? That's good. That's good. Are you at all worried or afraid of the bombings that took place in Paris or the shootings that happened here in the United States in San Bernardino? Is that something you guys talk about at school or something you even think about?
I'm like a little worried. I mean, kids don't talk about it at school, but I'm a little worried because it could lead to here or somewhere around here. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? No, you're right. It can be scary. So when I use the word peace, what does that mean to you? What does the word peace mean to you?
Happiness, and everyone gets along, and there's, like, no fighting.
That's awesome. That's a great answer. I think that's a great, great answer. Is there anything, this is your last chance, anything you'd like to say to your church family?
Thank you for having me up here and letting me talk to you guys and making me a little more comfortable talking in front of people.
Great. Let's give her a hand. Let's give her a hand. Wait one second. One second. And we have a certificate of appreciation for Julia. And it says, First Presbyterian Church of Strasbourg gives thanks to Julia Barge for her willingness to help the church better understand the gospel. Thank you, Julia. Appreciate it. Go ahead. Give her another hand. So Simeon, in chapter 2 of Luke, and we haven't seen him yet, but he's one of those random characters that we probably don't hear a lot of sermons on. But he is, I would argue, the one who may have grasped the mysterious nature of what God has set in motion with the birth of Jesus better than anyone else in Scripture. We find that Mary and Joseph are confused repeatedly throughout the time of Jesus's birth and even afterward. Even the disciples, they get bits and pieces, but they don't really fully understand who Jesus is, except maybe, I always argue that Thomas is the only one of the disciples who got it. The one who said to Jesus, "You are my Lord and my God." But Simeon certainly is the first one in the Bible who really gets it. He really understands. And when he does understand, he calls out to God and declares that he is now at peace. And as Brett said, now that I'm at peace, anything else can happen. I can even die. I can even go to be with you, Lord, because I have seen the Messiah. I have seen the Savior. Now, I've talked to a number of people who have had near-death experiences in their lives. When you've heard the stories, when they see that bright light or their heart has stopped for a period of time. But there's one overwhelming commonality that each of these people experience when they come out of that. And that is peace. Every single person that I've talked to who has had a near-death experience has said, I'm now more at peace in my life than I ever have been before. Now, we don't need near-death experiences to be at peace, right? There's another way to be able to experience that. In fact, we find Simeon in our scripture today who finds peace because after years of searching, he finds Jesus. Let's go ahead and read that scripture. We're in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Let's go ahead and read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, there's one thing we know for sure about the Holy Family, and that is that they were a very, very religious family. We find them today at the temple in Jerusalem, fulfilling what was required under the law, both for Mary, for the purification of the woman after birth, which was to take place 40 days after the birth of a child, but also for Jesus' sake. You may not know this, but when a Jewish firstborn son was born, then they had to bring him back to the temple 40 days later in order to redeem him, in order to claim him back. In fact, if you look at the verses before verse 25, you'll find in verses 24 that they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that was the price they had to pay in order to claim Jesus back. And that was the lowest amount that you could pay. You couldn't go any lower than two pigeons. So the thought is that Jesus and his family came from a very humble background. Now, if you remember in 1 Samuel, Samuel's mother, right? Some of you may not be aware of this story. But Samuel's mother was barren, Hannah. And she prayed and said, Lord, if you let me have a son, then he will be yours. And sure enough, Samuel was born. She brings him back to the temple for what should have been her redeeming him, paying those doves or paying something so then she could claim Samuel back as her son. But she had made a promise to the Lord and said, no, you can keep him. And sure enough, she doesn't claim him back. So that's the tradition. That's the Jewish law. Is when you have a firstborn son, you bring him back to the temple after that certain period of time. You pay a price, and then you can claim him back as your own. So what Mary and Joseph are doing in this stage in Scripture is, after he's been born, they're going back to Jerusalem, paying that price, so then they can basically take him back home again. But what ends up happening, if you notice the Scripture? So I want you to put yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph, okay? How many of you here have had your children baptized in this church? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Oh, just one or two of you. That's like all of you have. That's awesome. So imagine you're up front, okay, and I'm baptizing your child. And after the baptism, I walk him or her down the center aisle. And in the middle of that experience, someone from the pews gets up and takes that child from me. How would you feel, especially in this day and age? Would that sit well with you? I don't think so, right? That's basically what happens in the Scripture. They go through that ritual. They go through what every single parent who's had a firstborn child has gone through. But here in this instance, Simeon, who may or may not be known within the temple, I'm guessing everyone kind of knew him. Here's that guy again looking for the Messiah. Here's that guy who comes every single day, and every time he sees a child, he looks so disappointed, and we don't know why. But he grabs Jesus, lifts him up, and proclaims that he is the salvation of all humankind. Now, Scripture says that Mary and Joseph were confused. Really? Would you be confused? I may be a little angry. I may be also a little afraid and probably confused as well. But this man, Simeon, we read in Scripture, has spent his entire life waiting for the Messiah to come to the temple, to be brought before him his entire life. Imagine what that would have been like. And art history, again, depicts him as someone who's pretty old. So you can see year after year, day after day, month after month passing, hundreds, thousands of children being brought before him. And he sees them, and each one he leaves disappointed. And so after a certain period of time, maybe he gets tired of waiting. Maybe. You've been there, haven't you? Day after day, week after week, month after month, knowing that God has promised something for us and it just isn't happening. Maybe Simeon was getting tired. But then finally that morning, God speaks to him and says, today's the day. This is it. Go back to the temple today. You're going to see the Messiah. And I don't know how many kids before Jesus were presented before Christ. But the one was Jesus. And after a life of searching and looking in all the wrong direction, the result is his discovery of the Christ. And what he says right away, if you look at Verse 29, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. He's basically saying, Lord, you can take me home. You can take me home now. I am at peace. He prays to God and states that God could take him. And I wonder, when we hear prayers of ours answered after years of waiting, if we feel that same pain, if we feel that same peace. Now, this time of year, as we mentioned last week, can be the most joyful time of the year. You saw all the kids had a great answer for if there was one thing that they could have, or if there was one thing that they could be, this would be it. And I think their enthusiasm bleeds into adults as well. So we catch a little bit of that joy also. But it's also a time of year that can be the most hectic. It can be frenetic as we search for presents, as frantic as we bake, and the relatives that may not be our favorite are coming over, right? Some of you have those. And all of this can drown out the ideal of Christ being our peace. Do we feel that peace in Advent, or are we just so busy preparing and getting ready? Some people spend their whole lives frantically searching for something or someone to guide them and never end up looking in the right place. And on that day that Jesus was presented in the temple, which would have been the church, what a great place to find Jesus, by the way. On that day, Simeon was able to stop looking. Brothers and sisters, I have some great news for you. Today, we can stop looking as well for our peace. Because we found him. He has found us. And that is the peace that we find in Jesus. What is it about Jesus that brings about peace? What is it that gives us that peace that cuts us to the core? Our first scripture from the prophet Micah, if you want to turn there, we find the answer actually in the prophet Micah, who foretells of Jesus' birth. And if you look especially at verses 4 and the beginning of verse 5, you hear that Micah states something that we've heard before, but in a completely different context, in a completely different setting. Go ahead and go to Micah chapter 5, verse 4, and beginning of verse 5. And Micah states that the Messiah will bring about peace because he shall be great to the ends of the earth. The people will be at peace because they are assured of their security because of the strength of the Lord. Is that a message for today? Being assured of your security because of the Lord's strength. The Savior, our Lord, shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, is what the scripture states. So basically, the prophet Micah is saying we can be at peace because we have peace through strength. We've heard that phrase before, right? Peace through strength. And we've heard that in a nuclear context. We've heard that in the context of bombing ISIS to oblivion, right? We've heard that within the context of setting up barriers and walls so that we can have peace through strength. But we don't normally hear peace through strength in our relationship to Jesus, do we? That's what Micah's telling us. Bless you. But this is exactly where we can find our peace. And why we can find our peace in Christ, it is because we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love in Jesus Christ. That is peace through strength. That's the security that we have when we have Jesus as our Savior. Our Lord, even when he was a baby, was strong enough to hold on to us and keep us at peace Because he's the one for whom we have been waiting for all of our lives. Simeon, he was at peace. Because when he saw and met baby Jesus, the one he had been waiting and looking for his whole life, he knew that a ruler was in place. Here is someone who is in charge. Here is someone who is in control. And that's what we look for, isn't it? Peace for Simeon, you see, it wasn't the absence of war, but rather the presence of one who could bring about reconciliation. Peace for Simeon wasn't the absence of strife, but rather the presence of one who was love. Peace for Simeon in the temple was not the absence of enemy, but rather the presence of one who could love his enemy. Christ is our peace, not because he rules with violence, but because he rules with the strength of God's love. And we can have that same peace. Because in Christ, we have one who can take all of our expectations, he can take all of our goals, he can take our dreams, and he can look directly at us and tell us the time has come. I have arrived in your life. So you can be at peace. And this is the message that we receive from Simeon. But Simeon gives us another message. What if we choose not to lift up that child as he did? What if we choose not to follow Christ as our peace? And he mentions that. Let's go back to Luke if we could. I don't hear any pages turning. And the scripture's not on the screen either. So Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Simeon has something to say about those who don't choose Jesus as their peace. And you'll see that in verse 34 and also verse 35. Mary and Joseph in this scripture don't seem to get it. I don't know if you noticed that. And that's not a bad thing to say. I'm not sure we would get it either, as we mentioned, if someone held up our child in the middle of a baptism. I'm pretty sure we would have no idea what's going on. And that's where Mary and Joseph found themselves in the temple as well. But Simeon tells them that Jesus will be responsible for the rising and the falling of many. This Christ child that he had been waiting for years, and that we now wait for during Advent, will throw every single person who comes into contact with him, like Simeon and like us as well, he will throw us, Jesus will, into a crisis of decision. We have to decide. That's what happens when you meet Jesus. That's what happens when you gaze at him face to face. You are given an opportunity, in fact, a requirement to decide. Christ is our peace if we allow him to rule and govern our lives, but we can also choose not to have that peace. We can choose, it's our decision, to refuse to recognize Jesus as ruler. You don't hear about that often, do you? But I would say that it's exactly in that decision where you see the rising and the falling of many. That's what Simeon talked about. It is in this decision where actual life and death takes place. And Jesus precipitates and causes the centrally important movement of all of our lives. And that movement is either toward God or it's away from God. And as the sermon title hints, Jesus is the harbinger of peace, which means he hints at this peace that is to come. But it will only come if we receive him completely. The peace of Christ is only peace if we accept that peace. Otherwise, it's turbulence, as Simeon tells us. And this is why he rejoices. Because he recognizes the peace of that child that it will bring, but he also recognizes the woe and the turmoil that he would bring, that Jesus would bring to those who don't receive him. Chesterton once prayed, "Grant that as we joyfully receive Jesus for our Redeemer, so we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge." What that tells me is that when we are at peace, we are at peace with Jesus, who is both our Redeemer and our judge. Are we at peace when we think that Jesus is our judge? That's a very Protestant thing to say. That we can look forward to Judgment Day because we know that we have been redeemed. There's a saying that when you turn on a light, it inevitably casts a shadow. And that saying reminds me of the story of a family who had a very troubled son. And one day he came to know Jesus and literally turned his life around. And it was right around Christmas time, and the family had no idea how to deal with that. They had no idea what to do with this son who was lost but now was found, they thought. And so Christmas morning they had a ritual as far as handing out presents, and it was a pretty, you don't mess with those family traditions, right? And so there they were passing out presents when it came time for that son to pass out his presents, and they noticed he didn't have any. Instead, he got up and went into the kitchen, grabbed the basin, filled it with water. This actually happened. It didn't happen when I practiced it. Filled that basin with water, grabbed the towel, came out into the living room. Start washing the family's feet. Family had no idea what to do with that kid. The youngest sibling then caught on, and he began washing the family's feet until at the end, everyone was on their knees washing each other's feet. I'll never forget that Christmas. Last year was joy. This year is peace. Not last year. Last week is joy. So excuse me, but boy, this doesn't happen when I practice, though. I don't expect it to happen in front of you. But the peace of Christ allows us to be strong in the Lord and to do things that normally we would just be too afraid and self-conscious to do for the glory of God. Boy, we all want peace, we do. But we can't all admit, and we don't all admit, that peace comes from Jesus. And Simeon, when he came and when he met our Savior, he knew that he had that peace. If only we would allow Christ to rule in us, in his strength, that's how we can have the peace of Christ. May God bless us and keep us as we wait and anticipate for the coming of the child who provides his strength through our peace. Amen.